This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is the Daily Tip presented by BetMGM. Now, here's Chelsea Messenger and Michael Jenkins.
We have some great matchups today in Major League Baseball. Let's start with the Mets and the Marlins, who are not a bird, as Jenks just pointed out. We have the Mets minus 120 on the money line, total of 7.5 runs. David Peterson taking the bump for New York, and for Miami, it's Jesus Luzardo starting for the Fish. Jenks, what's the angle? Who do you like?
I think the Mets on the money line are the way to go here. Cheap price here, and I think that this is less about the Mets for me than it is about fading the Marlins, who are still having all sorts of problems hitting the ball. But Luzardo himself last year against the Mets was 0-2 with an ERA of almost 7. So you're getting a pretty cheap price on a New York team that has dominated Luzardo. At least they did last year. So I am on the Metropolitans.
I'm interested to see what we see from Luzardo this year, because this is a guy that was once a super prospect, and he was part of a trade to Miami, I believe, from the A's in some regard. So he has some high-end stuff, and we've seen it. He's had some flashes of greatness where he strikes out a ton of guys, but then he'll have games where he kind of falls back to earth and gives up a bunch of runs. Matt just put it in the chat, Luzardo's strikeout prop is 5.5. I like the over there, but I'm a little nervous just because the Mets are not a super strikeout prone team. So maybe I'd stay away for that reason. But I do like the Mets. I think they're the better team here. What do you think about this total of 7.5? Do you have a play here? I think a lot of this depends on what we get from both of these pitchers, which both of them can be all right, but both of them can also give up a lot of runs. So I feel like maybe there's too much volatility there.
Yeah, I think so too. It's juiced to the over, minus 120, but I don't know. Here's the thing is that we always talk about game script, and I think the Mets are going to win this game, and I also wonder that the Mets could win this game, 4-2 because the Marlins just can't hit. So I'm going to stay away from the total here. The total makes me a little bit nervous. I think the under would be the player for me, but I'm just going to stay away bet New York.
Yeah, too many question marks for me. So let's go on to the White Sox and the Astros. We have Houston minus 155 on the money line, total of 8 runs. Lance Lynn going for Chicago, and it's Christian Javier going for the Astros. Jenks, I was talking about watching this game on ESPN last night. It very much had almost a playoff feel to it because of, opening day is such a big deal. I'm wondering if we get that same presence here because it's not opening day, it's the second game. I would imagine Astros fans will probably be there, because it's also a Friday night game. But what's your take here? I think for me, it's looking at Lance Lynn and probably fading him. What do you think?
I like the under here is what I'm going to do. And so, I was on the under yesterday and that came home in this game. And I think the problem is, it's hard to convince yourself that an under is the play when you're betting on the Astros. And the White Sox can hit too, we know that, but particularly with the Astros because they can go off at any time. But the early money is hitting the under in this one. And when pitching at home last season, Javier held opponents to a batting average of 154, which is crazy. On the flip side, Lance Lynn, not as good, but still a very good pitcher. And he was better on the road than he was at home last season, had a road ERA of 2.95. So again, the under hit yesterday. I think we see more of the same in this one. I'm going to go under 8.
Here's the sabotage factor. Lance Lynn has had some really disastrous starts against the Astros. And no, it's not been in like the past year or so, But if you look at his last three starts against the Astros, he's given up 6 runs, 9 runs, and 6 runs in only 4 innings of work in his last time around. But that was back in 2021. Do you believe in pitchers kind of seeing ghosts when they face these lineups that have hit them pretty badly before?
Yeah, I think so. When you can, I think that some, you know, it goes both ways, right? You can get in the head of someone that you're facing or someone that you're pitching against. So when you've had issues in the past, like it could be a combination of, let's say you're a pitcher and someone just knows your stuff. They hit your stuff really well. And then a lot of times, maybe instead of sticking with what has made you successful, because of that success that you haven't had, maybe you try to switch things up and maybe you get in your head a little bit and that makes things worse. So yeah, I think that's a real thing.
Yeah, so I think I'm willing to fade Lance Lynn here. I would take the Astros on the run line. I think they can scratch across some runs. So do you think the play is the Astros minus a half in the first five? Or do you think it's smarter to get a little bit more wiggle room and play them on the run line in the full game?
I don't mind Astros money line. Here's the thing, is that it's 155, so it's sort of right there. And you can draw your own threshold as to what you think is too much to lay on the money line. Mine is around minus 150, but every now and then, baseball is like hockey in many ways on the money line, right? Because the margins are so thin. But sometimes, even at minus 155, you're getting value. And so I think with a pitcher who is so dominant, particularly at home in Christian Javier, and you're talking about a lineup as good as anyone else's, I think minus 155 on the money line is a reasonable price. Now, if you don't want to lay that, I get that. But they're like a hockey game today I like is the Rangers and Sabres, and the Rangers are minus 150. I'm trying to decide if I want to play it or not. But I like the value at that price, so I would just lay the buck 55.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Yeah, I like that as well. I think that's probably the safer play, especially after what we saw last night, a very back and forth game, or a game that was really close between the Astros and the White Sox. So I'm with you there. Maybe that's the safe play. I do think Christian Javier can probably miss some bats here. I need to see what his strikeout prop is, but you talked about how good he's been at home pitching, and also he is a strikeout pitcher. We've seen it in spring against the Marlins. He had 5 strikeouts in just 4 innings of work. So maybe that's one worth circling as well. But I'll be on the Astros is my favorite play in that game. Let's go out west. Padres, Rockies. We have San Diego minus 175, total 8.5. Kyle Freeland going for the Rocks and Nick Martinez towing the rubber for the Padres. Jenks, I feel like I didn't get a great read on this game because this game didn't, the game before between these two, didn't play until late last night, so I didn't get to watch it. But what's your read here? Have you found an angle?
Oh, not really. Neither of these pitchers inspire a whole lot of confidence. I think I would lean over because of that. Nick Martinez normally does some middle relief or closes out games. This is not a regular spot for him, but in his career against the Pods, he has an ERA of 5.48. And then Kyle Freeland is better on the road than he is at home. But the last time he was in this spot, he got shelled for like six runs. So I'm going to lean over, but I don't really like this game.
Yeah, and the reason I mentioned last night's game is because I do think it's important to keep tabs on teams the night before, especially if they're playing the same opponent. And we saw the Rockies beat the Padres 7-2. Blake Snell, we know, can give it up sometimes. But also, he only lasted 4 1/3. So it was a little more wear and tear on the bullpen for the Padres. So especially for a team that's minus 175 on the money line behind Nick Martinez, like, I'm definitely not playing the Padres there. It's too juicy, and they're not super trustworthy. All right, let's go out to the Dodgers and the D-backs. We have the Dodgers minus 185 on the money line, total of 8 runs. Merrill Kelly going for Arizona and Dustin May going for the Dodgers. And the stat here that we have written in the rundown, Merrill Kelly 0-9 with a 5.97 ERA in his career against the Dodgers. Jinx. I feel super square. Are you playing the Dodgers on the run line?
I am not. And I know Merrill Kelly has had no success. I will not bet this game, but I kind of like the D-backs as a live dog here. I'm not going to play it because of that Merrill Kelly stat. But also, Dustin May doesn't inspire a lot of confidence. In his final game last year against Arizona, he got absolutely shelled, gave up 5 runs in 4 innings. So I think the strong case is for the Dodgers on the run line. It is square. I think it's the right side. But looking at how Dustin May performed last time out against the D-backs gives me pause here.
Yeah, I don't have any desire to play this one. I think if it was a different starter for the Dodgers, like last night we saw Julio Urias with a quality start for L.A. Dustin May is a young guy, and he certainly has high-end stuff. Maybe he strikes out a lot of batters against the D-backs. They weren't especially strikeout-prone towards the end of the year last season. Mm-hmm. But still, if you're taking the Dodgers on the run line, you need to be really sure, and I'm not really sure, so I'm not going to play that one. All right, staying out west, we have Seattle and Cleveland squaring off, where we have the Mariners, home favorites here, minus 160 on the money line. Total of 7.5 runs. Hunter Gaddis going for Cleveland and Robbie Ray for Seattle. This is a late game, Jinx. Are you going to stay up and have a play here?
This is my favorite play of the day. I love the first 5 run line here with the Mariners, and it's only at minus 110 at BetMGM. Hunter Gaddis made 2 starts last season for the Guardians. He gave up 15 runs over 7 1/3 innings. 15. And he didn't go beyond the 4th inning in either of those games. So clearly, you've got an advantage on the mound with Robbie Ray. Also, the Guardians are 1-6 in their last 7 meetings in Seattle. They're 0-4 in their last 4 overall. They don't perform well in this spot, and you've got a massive advantage with your starting pitchers here. So Mariners' first 5 run line, just a half run, it's only minus 110. I love that bet.
I wonder why Gaddis is their, like, number 2 starter. That's what my question is. I guess because Tristan McKenzie's on the IL. But yeah, it doesn't seem like great numbers for a guy that is your number 2 starter in the second game of the season. It's not a team that I'd want to back with that guy on the mound. I wonder what we see from Robbie Ray this year. Because as we know, this is a guy that's won the Cy Young and has excellent strikeout stuff. But last year, he kind of came back down to earth a little bit, at least when it came to his strikeouts. So I'm wondering if he dials it up here and can miss some bats. His strikeout prop only at 5.5. But like I said, I don't know if it's something different with his strategy where he's not trying to strike out as many guys, because that was his problem early on in his career, is that he was just trying to blow it past people. He had some control issues. So probably not going to play that one. But would lean towards the Mariners at minus 160. I think I'd take them just on the money line.
For more, listen to The Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM. Weekday mornings from 6 to 9 Eastern on the BetQL Network, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.